Blog Talk Radio.
In the name of your Son, we bow the knees of our heart before you, Heavenly Father, and we beseech you, Heavenly Father, to please give ear to our prayer. Gracious and merciful Father, on behalf of your people whom you've called, whom you've chosen, we come before you and we thank you for the opportunity that you have blessed us with, Heavenly Father, to come before you, to come before your people, to present your word, your truth above all things. Heavenly Father, we ask for your grace and your mercy, your compassion to be extended to each and every one of us. We ask you, Heavenly Father, to forgive us for the sin we commit against you knowingly and unknowingly, willingly and unwillingly. We ask for strength by your Spirit, Heavenly Father, to continue in your word, in obedience to your voice, submitting to your divine will. Heavenly Father, through your loving kindness, we pray that you chastise us when we go astray, to the right or to the left, that we remain steadfast, Heavenly Father, upon the pathway to salvation. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we discuss preparations this evening, you lead and guide our brother, your Son, that he may bring forth the truth of your word, that we may receive it, that we may be moved, Heavenly Father, to act accordingly. Those who are listening, those who are suffering physically, mentally, emotionally, comfort us all, Heavenly Father, that we remain faithful to you through your Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our soon coming King, Mashiach, Yahushua. Praise going on to be to your holy and to your most precious name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Rabbi, for those opening words, for that blessing, Heavenly Father. I pray Yahweh has brought the family together this evening to hear this message that I'm about to present to everyone. I want to especially thank Brother Ariel for opening my eyes once again to Ezra 14 and Ezra 15, Second Ezra in the Apocrypha, Second Ezra 14, chapter 14 and chapter 15, because I find it to be very enlightening, and it's in direct connection, you know, with what we're talking about this evening for the next couple of weeks. You know, Ezra is trying to show us something, and one of the things that I see in Ezra, but I also see it in a lot of teachings that the brothers are bringing to us each and every Sabbath, and that is obedience to Yahweh's word. That is following his commandments. That is observing his high holy days. You know, in various parts of the Bible, in the word, and during different times, you know, we were very disobedient to Yahweh. You know, I guess, you know, we kind of sort of thought that, took his love for granted and thought that we could do whatever we wanted to do whenever we wanted to do it and that it would be okay with him, you know. But there were times when he got fed up with all that we were doing, and he brought holy wrath upon us for doing that. You know, and in Second Ezra in the Apocrypha, you know, Yahweh showed Ezra that he was tired, you know, that he no longer was going to accept disobedience from his people. And once again, you know, he was ready to bring the hammer down on us, you know. But I look looking out on this world that we're living in today. You know, like, we're blessed. You know, Yahweh is blessing our rabbi, and our rabbi is guiding our mores in such a way that when they bring the word, you know, they're bringing the word to give us the salvation that we're going to need, so that when those times come, we're going to be prepared spiritually for those things. You know, like, we know that when the wrath come, you know, we know who is coming for. Not the believers, but the non-believers. You know, if we take a look at Ezra chapter 15, and starting at verse 24, you know, it says, "Woe to them that sin and keep not my commandments, said the mighty one. I will not spare them. Go your way, ye children, from the power, defile not my sanctuary. For Yahweh knoweth all them that sin against him, and therefore deliver them unto death and destruction. For now are the plagues come upon the whole earth, and ye shall remain in them. For Yahweh shall not deliver you, because ye have sinned against him." For ye have sinned against him. Now, he's not talking about the believers. He's not talking about the followers of his word. He's not talking about the doers of his word. He's talking about those that have sinned against him. You know, we as believers, we practice his word in our daily lives. We carry him with us wherever we go. The mores, as I say, it's not a Sabbath that goes by. Them brothers don't come and they share with us, you know, the enlightening word of Yahweh. You know, I know for myself, I've seen a lot of times when I've been out in the world and I've done things, and I've had the wrath of Yahweh to come down upon me. You know, I'm not going to sit here and give you any particulars, you know, because there's been multitude of times. And even today, you know, like, I've got to be very mindful of some of the things that I do. If I'm not careful, you know, I can leave, when I leave out of my house, you know, like, there's sin waiting right around the corner. Right around the corner, you know, to take me off of this path that I'm on. You know, I fear Yahweh in a good way. Just enough to keep me on that path. You know, we're living in some very troubling times. You know, we look out upon the world that that we're living in, and we see a lot of things occurring. We see hurricanes at different times in the year when hurricanes don't normally occur. We see hurricanes in places where hurricanes don't normally happen. We see floods. Matter of fact, just this week, parts of the Midwest was flooded, you know, that never been flooded before. You know, we see a lot of dryness in places, you know, that that's been dry, but seem like year after year is getting worse. You know, can we look at that as a sign? I think we should, because in my years, it don't seem to be getting better. It seems to be getting worse. Is Yahweh trying to show us something? You know, we have insects. We have flying insects. We have mosquitoes that that are moving about. You know, there's a mosquito. I can't think of the name of this particular mosquito. But there's a mosquito that actually is breeding in Africa, on this hilltop in Africa. It's some type of virus that this mosquito is carrying. And they say that it's just a matter of time before it come here and start infecting people with a deadly disease. So, you know, there's all kinds of things, phantoms that we're looking at. You know, I was reading a report about the bees. You know, it's no coincidences. You know, when you look at how, you know, we're treating one another, you know, you look at how, you know, the world has turned their back on Yahweh. You know, I thank God for the word each Sabbath. You know, I heard Brother Den speak, Brother Shafut, you know, speak of how he looked forward to Shabbat. I look forward to Shabbat because that, you know, it gives me a day away from the world. That's one day, you know, that I know I don't have to go out there. I'm not spending no money. I'm not going in stores where, you know, people, you know, it's just a day of freedom from all of that. But we can concentrate on that one thing, you know, Yahweh HaMashiach. You know, it's truly a blessing. You know, like we living in some real troubled times. You know, we're living in places. You know, we're living in crowded cities. You know, our neighbors. You know, what can we expect of our neighbors if something were to happen? Well, if we take a look at Ezra 15, 15. And what is that? I'm sorry. Thought I put that on there. I didn't. But if we, you know, we look in Ezra, in Ezra 15:11. But I will bring them with a mighty hand and a stretched out arm and smite Egypt with plagues as before, and will destroy all the land thereof. Egypt shall mourn, and the foundation of it shall be smitten with the plague and punishment that Yahweh bring upon it. They that fill the ground shall mourn, for their seed shall fail through the blasting and hail with a fearful consternation. Woe to the world and them that dwell in it. You know, powerful words. That's a powerful statement. But as believers, you know, we can have faith. We can be assured, you know, as believers and doers of the word, you know, we can be assured that no harm will come to us. That just as Yahweh brought plagues upon Pharaoh, he brought plagues upon Pharaoh. He's going to bring plagues upon the pharaohs of this world today. And that's where we need to, that's one of the reasons why we as believers need to begin to prepare ourselves for that. You know, wife and I was talking earlier, and I think a lot of us know about this parable about it was a flood. And everybody in this town had evacuated except for this one guy. And he was standing out on his porch. Water was up to his porch. He was standing out on his porch. And a boat come by, and the guy hollered out to him, "Hey, Johnny, come on, get in the boat so that we can, you know, get you to dry land, get you to safety." He said, "No, I'm going to be all right. God's going to save me." Okay? So that night, he goes to bed, and the water rises. And it actually had risen so much he had to climb upon his roof, you know, to save himself from the waters. Well, being a believer that God was going to save him, a helicopter came along and dropped a ladder down to him. "Johnny, come on, grab the ladder and climb on up in here so we can get you to safety." Well, Johnny said, "No, I'm okay. God's going to save me." Well, God had sent, you know, little did he know that God had sent him two rescuers. And he sent them away. And he sent them away. You know, but I pray, you know, that that our families began to take a look, you know, not just in what I say, but, you know, take a look for themselves and began to store things away that's going to be of necessity to them in times of famine, in times when there's civil unrest. But getting right into what I'm going to talk about this evening, I'm going to talk to everyone about water and food. Now, and there's a couple of different areas that we're going to look at water. You know, why water first? Why would we, you know, well, before I even get into that, we all should think about we should all think about a place in our homes where we're going to store these items at. You know, where you're going to have, you know, begin to stock up on your water, your food, and the other necessities that we're going to be talking about in the days to come. You know, start looking in your homes, you know, whether it's a closet or a space in your basement, you know, where you're going to store these things. Because that's going to be very important. It's going to be very important, you know, but to look at water, okay, why water? Well, the body can do without food for a couple of weeks. But water, it can't do without water but for a few days. So water is the utmost priority. Okay? Now, how much water are you going to need? Well, it's recommended that that enough water be stored whereby there's at least 1 gallon per person per day. 1 gallon of water per person per day. Now, I know that a lot of us don't drink that much water. At least I know I don't. Maybe I should, but I don't. But with that said, you know, we also, when we think about water, and we think about times of famine, you know, there could be other areas that we need water also, okay? Such water for boiling our foods, water for cleaning our food utensils, and washing our hands, you know, when we are shut out, cut off, quote unquote, from the world. You know, one of the main things that we're going to truly be concerned about is cleanliness. So, you know, you're going to have to constantly be, you know, whether you have sanitizer, enough sanitizer in your household to carry you for a while or not, you're going to need water to constantly, you know, keep your hands clean. You're going to need water to bathe. You know, so water is going to be of the utmost importance. So while you are figuring out just how much water is going to take for each person in your household for an average, this is an average of 2 weeks. You know, also think about adding a little more water, you know, for those other things that you might need it for bathing, for washing the dishes, and for cooking, okay? I don't want, at this time, I don't want to get into cooking and what you're going to do as far as cooking is concerned. We don't want to do that. You know, we're just going to talk about the water. We're just going to keep it simple. We're just going to talk about the water. We'll get into those other things a little later on. You know, but water is of the utmost importance, the utmost importance. And as I stated, you know, like it's going to take 1 gallon per person per day. And if you you multiply that by 7, so you're looking at 7 gallons of water for a week for one person. Take that 7, you multiply it by a number of people, persons in your household. Okay? By 14. Multiply that, that by 14, and that'll give you the number of gallons that you're going to need to store in your in your storehouse for an emergency. Now, one of the things that we can also look at as a group, and this is something that we can discuss later, is the possibility of, if we're going to do this as a group, to purchase the water together. You know, it would be much cheaper for a group of us to buy a pallet, 2 pallets, 3 pallets, how many pallets we're going to need, to buy it that way than to have us go into stores individually to buy that. But that's something to think about. And let me also say at this time, you know, doing for us to do this, it's going to take a lot of work. You know, I'm going to need some help in doing this, you know, and I pray and I ask, you know, any of the brothers or any of the sisters, you know, the sisters, you know, speak to my wife, the brothers, you know, you can confront me. And see if we can delegate some authority to other individuals so that this work is spread around. This work is spread around. You know, one of the things, not having the kind of time that I thought I was going to have, one of the things that I'm going to look into next week is, you know, when we talk about water, that water, like I say, is going to be needed in a lot of different areas in our homes during that time. But I'm not looking to have any running water in the household, okay? So I want to contact state and find out just what happens with our flushing. You know, will you be able to flush during that particular time? You know, because one thing that you will want to do is make sure, okay? You want to make sure, if you have 4 toilets in your house, you want to make sure that there's water at all times in each and every toilet. And the reason being, if you don't have any water in it, gases from that septic line is going to come back up into your house. So remember that. You know, you always want to make sure you're going to have water in that toilet. But as a state, I'm going to get in contact with the state and find out just how that will work, whether or not, you know, in times of extreme emergencies, you know, whether or not we'll be able to flush or not. But, you know, I think we want to prepare ourselves for the worst. And then if, you know, we're able to, then that's a blessing. But we want to prepare ourselves for the worst. But as I stated, you know, like, we want to make sure that there's always water in that toilet. Always water in that toilet so that the gases from the sewage line doesn't back up into the house, because that is surely what will occur if there's no water there. There's no water there. Okay? So, okay, we're going to move on from here, and we're going to take a look at the food. Okay? Now, food is going to be one of those things where we really are going to have to work. Now, what kind of foods will we be looking at having? You know, how would they be preserved? How would they be stored? You know, what will they be stored in? You know, it's a lot to consider when you speak on food. Now, there are ways. There are food items that you can buy, MREs, that you can purchase that are already freeze dried or hydrated. That you can, some of them, you take the pouch and you put it in some boiling water and you cook the pouch. Some of it is you can cook, you know, as you normally would. With a little water. But at any rate, you know, these are all preserved foods. Now, the MREs, that's something that I'm going to have to further look at. One of the things that I would like to do, and I am going to do, you know, there are different shows that come to this area, especially after the weather gets warm. They're going to know there's going to be at least two during the summertime, where they're going to be survivalists at. And there's going to be areas that are set up that have different MREs and different apparatuses that we could possibly purchase that would help us in what we're doing, what we're proposing to do. Just to get back to the water, we want to not just look at buying, purchasing water, but if we were in a situation where we had to leave our homes, or if we weren't at home and we needed water, how will we get this water? Well, there are apparatuses that you can buy that will purify water. Matter of fact, there's a tube that you can buy, that you can purchase, that's relatively inexpensive, that can be purchased and you suck through just like a straw. You put this apparatus down to the water and you just suck it through, and it will purify the water as it's being drawn through. I can't recall just how many times it can be used, but it's quite a few. But it's apparatuses like that we also want to look at, okay? And that's also something that I'm going to take a look at to see if it can be bought in bulk. You know, rather than me just buying three or four for my family, you know, we buy 30, 40, 50, 60. How many are we going to need for the congregation? You know, prayfully, as I said, we can find ways to purchase these things and get them at a much cheaper price. Okay, but getting back to the food, let's talk a little bit about food preservation. You know, how are we going to preserve this food? Well, okay, there's several things that we can do. We can can foods. Okay, I don't know whether congregation know anything about canning or not. But it's a process. My wife, usually how we have done it in the past, we would both go and get the vegetables. Usually I'd be the one that cooked the vegetables, and she'd be the one to can them. Okay? And when you're canning, what you're using are mason jars. It's a particular jar. I don't know whether or not you can use other jars or not, but I do know that history has shown that mason jars is the tool to use for canning. Mason jars has been around for years. Okay, so it's a proven product, and that's what we have used in the past. But like I said, it's a process. You know, you drop them in boiling water. I don't know how long it sets in the water. Like I said, that's not part of what I have been doing, but what my wife has been doing. But you pop it, you drop it in the water, and it sets in the water for so long, and then you take it out. Like I said, I'm sure it's a lot more to it than that. But if we're going to do this together, as I say, it's work involved, and it's something that is going to be, these are things that we're going to have to find time that to come together and to learn about, okay? That's the canning side, okay? Now, there's freeze drying. There's a apparatus that you can buy that freeze dries everything. And the shelf life of all of these things are very long, years. You know, you're talking about canning 10 or 12 years. Freeze drying is 20 to 25 years. So it's not like if you put all this stuff away, you know, we spend our monies on canning these items or freeze drying these items or hydrating these items that they're going to spoil in a year or two. Nah, this stuff can be around, can be stored for quite a long time as long as it's done in sanitary conditions and it's done properly. These items can be stored for years. So, as I say, these are things, you know, things that we should be looking at. You know, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. But if we just look at it, you know, not for it being the difficulty of it, but look at it from a standpoint of us coming together collectively, getting closer, you know, to bring us about for each and every household. You know, some of the things that we want to be able to can, you know, are vegetables or preserve or hydrate, you know, are vegetables. You know, you want to buy beans. These things can be bought in bulk. Rice can be bought in bulk. Even flour can be bought in bulk. It may be better to buy the grain itself and then mill it, because there's ways of milling. Take a little work of milling it. The grain itself is going to keep longer than the flour. You know, but with all that said, you know, when we are hydrating items and sealing some of these items, we're going to have somewhere to store them. So here again, we're going to have to look into purchasing food grade containers to put these things in. And when we put food in these things, we'll have to use, you know, these little packets that you get sometime when you buy shoes or you buy clothes or you might go out and buy a handbag. I can't think of the name of these little things right now. But these they're going to have to be packed along with these food items when we put them away in these food grade containers. You know, so there's a lot of things to be considered, but you know, I don't think that I don't think that this task that we're about to take on is too great for us. I don't think that's too great for us. You know, one other way is through vacuum sealing. You know, we've all seen these sealers that they advertise sometimes on television, how you put these items in these sealed bags, and the apparatus actually takes the air out of the bag itself and causes the bag to shrink around whatever it is that you've placed in it. Well, I'm here to tell you, they work. They work. You know, I put, when I fish, that's what I put put my fish in, one of those bags. And that fish is usually just as fresh when I take it out of that bag as it was when I put it in. So they do work. But that's another thing, another way of preserving some of the foods that we had. Now, I'm not recommending that we try to put fish away, because we know to do that you have to have electricity. Now, freeze drying fish, now that's an option. Hydrating fish, that's an option. You know, there are some things that you know that has actually caught my curiosity, and whether or not, and I'm sure you can hydrate certain things. You know, I've never tried it. Now, fruit, I've dried fruit. Got plenty of dried fruit, man. Matter of fact, I got some dried fruit that I've had for about 4 or 5 years now. It's still good. It's still good. Got it in food grade containers, and it's still good. So, you know, like I say, that's an option. That's an option. But to vacuum seal, you know, our rice, our beans is a good thing. You know, even from a nutritional standpoint, you know, beans is the thing. You know, there's proteins, there's some minerals, you know, and these are the things that that we're going to need if we don't if we're bugging out. These are the things that we're going to need. We're going to need the protein. We're going to need the minerals and vitamins, you know, because it's going to be stressful times. It's going to be stressful times for some of us. And we're going to need the food and the earth to balance that out. We're going to need those things. So, you know, like I say, it's a lot to think about, but it's not so much that, you know, it's not so much to think about or to do that we can't handle. For real. It's not like that. You know, Yahweh is blessing us each and every day, you know. You know, we just, you know, continue to follow his word and listen to our rabbi and the Moreis as they bring the message on the Sabbath. Continue to observe his command. You know, it's a blessing, you know, to have brothers within the congregation, you know, that tells us when we have a full moon. That's a blessing. You know, we don't have to go too far to see how how misdirected, you know, some Hebrews are. You know, we have neighbors that on a yearly basis seem to get their holy days miscalculated. Why? You know, we don't need to go into it because we know that through our rabbi, Yahweh has blessed us with the knowledge, you know, and he has, and our rabbi has given two brothers that assignment to keep us on track with the sun and the moon. But, you know, we just got to continue to listen to follow the word of our rabbi and the Moreis, and thank Yahweh for the blessings. You know, this is going to be short tonight, but, with everything that I've said this evening, I pray that it's something that, you know, each and every family can use, and that we found a way to come together to begin to do this. You know, it's not something that this is just the beginning. The water is should be our first priority, and then we should be getting into sitting down and talking about ways to come together to begin to gather in our food. We're coming into the season now in the spring. We're in the spring of the season, and farmers are beginning to put their crop out, something that we should be doing, those of us that have gardens. You know, it's, you know, you can put your lettuces out, you can put your beets out, you can put your carrots out, you can put there's several other vegetables that are quote unquote cold hardy that you can actually put in the garden right now. You know, I've got a few things I'm gonna set out. I haven't done it as of yet, but I am before the week is out. You know, but as the summer progresses, excuse me, my wife and I go to the farm quite a bit. You know, I'm going to put a schedule out there, let everybody know when we're going to the farm, because there's certain times when certain crops are coming in. You know, we want to get out there and get these crops so that we can begin to can. So as I say, you know, our window of coming together is now, so that we can prepare now so that we begin to do that later. Because pretty soon, March, yeah. Round about May, round about the end of May, the middle part of May, you know, you'll be able to go to the farm and get your beets. You know, probably late May, early June, you might be able to go there and get your broccolis. You know, these are cool weather plants. You know, they don't grow too well in heat. So, you know, let's just try to keep that in mind and continue to follow the word of Yahuwah, Yahushua, HaMashiach, and pray that his blessings be upon us. We're going to need it in this walk that we're walking. Really. You know, people don't know what we know. They don't have the blessings of the Most High because they're doing somebody else's work. They're not doing the work of the Most High. But as I say, I'm going to cut this lesson short right here. And next week when I come in, I'm going to get into a little bit more detail, especially about the meat part of this. You know, we're going to start taking a look at some of the other items that we're going to need to make our lives just a little bit more comfortable if we can't get out and get certain things, you know, items that we should have in our house. As I stated, you know, there's certain herbs that we should all have in our house. There's certain things that we should have. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to have my wife make a list of some of these things so that each and every household have them in case it's needed. Each and every household should have a survival book, you know, because I don't know everything about survival. You know, there's some things, you know, that there could be a situation that arises, you know, when you're away from your home, that you don't have a clue as what to do. Well, if you have a survival book, it can tell you, right, you know, how to start a fire, directions, you know, how to, you know, these are things that we're going to have to learn. You know, I was thinking one day, and I'm not rambling, but these are things that I think we need to learn. You know, when we out at Sucos, you know, we probably need to sit down and learn how to use a compass. You know, I have pretty good sense of direction, but I'm telling you, if you ever get out there in the woods, because I've been out in the woods, if you ever get out in the woods, and you get lost, you can find yourself walking around in a circle. For real. So, but having a compass, you know, like if you've ever been in the military, it's having a compass is just as important as having a weapon if you've ever been in the military. For real. But as I say, I'm going to close this meeting here and just ask, as I say, that each and every household, you know, just sit down and think and have a conversation about it. And if you have any questions, anything, matter of fact, if you have a question, you can, in a couple of minutes, you can text me now or, you know, write it down and we can talk about it. Well, that's right, I won't be at Sabbath this week. I won't be able to come because I'm unclean. But or you can call me. you know. But as I said, it's something that once began to take a look at now rather than later, because mainly because we are coming into the season where we can go to the farm and get farm fresh items, and began to can them, prepare them to put into our storehouses. Okay, so with that, I'm going to close with a prayer, and may Yahweh be with you all. Okay, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the time that you've given me to share with the brothers and sisters, Heavenly Father. I pray, Heavenly Father, that each and every household and heart was opened up, dear God, to receive what it is that I've given them, Heavenly Father, in your name. Oh, Yahweh, bless those brothers and sisters that are sick this evening, Heavenly Father, those who may be going through things, dear God. I pray and ask your blessings be upon them, Heavenly Father. Pray that each and every household, Heavenly Father, is complying with your word, Heavenly Father. I pray, Heavenly Father, and just ask that you continue to bless Rabbi and his household, Heavenly Father. Pray, Heavenly Father, and keep them safe, dear God, for he has been a good shepherd, dear God, and all flocks need a good shepherd, Heavenly Father, watching over them, dear God. Oh, Yahweh, we thank you, Heavenly Father. We just thank you, Heavenly Father, for the many blessings that you give us, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your morays, Heavenly Father, and the word and the blessings that you give them each and every Sabbath, Heavenly Father. Protect us all, Yahweh, from this world that we're in, Heavenly Father. Protect us and our children, Heavenly Father, as they leave home, their homes, and travel out to this world, dear God. Oh, Father, all I can say is thank you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, just for the blessing of life, dear God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father, and Yahushua's holy name. Amen. Shalom.